people there. Crowd draws crowds, you know that. It really is true. And your presence in a place, your presence here, your presence in church actually means a lot. It means a lot to God. It means a lot to the people that you're sitting beside. It means a lot to leadership. It actually means, don't think you're not missed. Don't think you're not, I surely wouldn't notice. Or maybe some of us don't notice, but someone notices. Someone that normally sits beside you, someone that welcomes you in the door, somebody notices. And we're going to continue the book of Acts. And, you know, it's gas because this Acts 29 thing, you know, it's like, even if I'm not preaching on Acts, I tell people to turn to Acts 29. And to see Bible scholars looking for Acts 29 is really, really funny. Pastors looking for it and you go, you big jabroni, it's not there. That's the reality of it. But let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the transformation that happens, Lord, when we not just read your word, but when we allow your word to read us. And I pray, Father God, that as we delve into your word, not just on a Sunday, Lord, we don't just come to be fed on a Sunday and survive till next Sunday. No more should we eat a meal on a Sunday and go through the week to next Sunday without a meal. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? Your body wouldn't be able for it. There would be a breaking down somewhere of muscle and health. And same with reading the word and getting into the word and letting the word get into you and me. It's a lifestyle. It's not a week-to-week thing. And Father, we would just want to say we honor your word in this place. That we know this is life to us, oh God. It's strength and encouragement and it's food and it's sustenance, Lord God. It's inspiration, Lord God. It's transformation, Lord God. It's, Lord, it keeps us, Lord God. In times, even as Greg just said there, that Psalm 23, verse 4 is what kept them. Your word keeps us, Lord. Frees us, Lord. And we just want to say that we honor your word in this place, Father God. We thank you that you speak to us through your word. And we say, Lord, would you continue to do that? In fact, Lord, would you increase the level of your word, Lord, coming forth in every manner possible, Father. Bless this morning, Father, the rest of this morning, Lord. Take your word and break it open. Break it open, Lord God. Amen. Amen. I want to speak for a few minutes, actually. It's gone into past 12. But about the words in Acts. And we've had some stuff over the last week, and Eddie brought a great message last week, and there's going to be more people coming along over the next weeks to deliver the word of God to us. And Acts 29, as we know, just to bring everyone into on the same page, that there's no Acts 29. The book of Acts in the Bible finishes at 28. But the reality is, you know, when I say turn to Acts 29, you turn to the person beside you because they're the continuation of Acts, the book of Acts. That it's a continued story. It's not something that stopped with a full stop in Acts 28. It's a continuous story of God's unfolding of his story, that he loves this world and gave his son for this world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the outworking of that in the manifestation of his love and his mercy, grace, his kingdom being established. And anybody that tells you any different that it stopped at Acts 28, I want to tell you that they're lying. I've no other way to put it about it, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't stop. Like, the cross wasn't the end of it. And the resurrection wasn't the end of it. And the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2 was not the end of it. It's a continued story. You and I are the continuation of Acts, the book of Acts. And I felt what the Lord put on my heart to do this morning is to show us some stuff about activation. That's a good word to take from Acts, isn't it? That to activate something is to set it into motion. It's to cause a spark to create a forward movement or more activity. It's to set off something. Like, you could have a bomb, and it could be just the bomb sitting there, lying there. Even you find a bomb still from World War II in places. And it didn't go off. Why? Because it's not activated. So you can be sitting there as a Christian, and we can be moving along as a Christian without an activation of what God has for us and does for us and wants to do through us being released inside of us. The button on the kettle has to be pressed to activate the source to bring the water to a boil. The kettle can sit there all day with water in it, plugged into the wall, but unless that little button is pressed, no one's getting a cup of Rosie Lee. Isn't that right? And as Christians, there's things that we can do to activate the power, the presence, the glory of who God is in our lives. In fact, it's been many places in the scriptures. Let me just fly through some things that brings activation. For instance, when Moses was going to the Red Sea, remember he was cornered in a sense from the Pharaoh's men were all coming on their chariots and they were going to wipe them out and the sea was in front of them and they were caught between a rock and a hard place. There was no way out of this. And God says to Moses, and Moses says something like, "What will I do? God, help me." And God showed him an activation point. He says, "Lift up your staff, the piece of stick that he had, and stretch it out." And that simple act caused a whole sea to open. Why? Because the presence and the power and the glory of God was activated by an action that God told them to do. Are you with me? For instance, when they were going over to the promised land, the Lord spoke to Joshua and he says, "Tell the priest to get the Ark of the Covenant and to walk across and to step their foot in the water." And as soon as they stepped their foot in the water, it activated the presence and the power and the glory of God, and the water parted and they walked across on dry land. A simple act that releases, that activates God on earth. And he goes and he tells them, this works out very practical. He says, "Put stones in the middle. And when your kids say to you, 'What are those stones for?' He says, 'Tell them, testify to them of the goodness of God.'" What he was saying was, your story of God's goodness and faithfulness to our children activates faith in them. That's why the Bible says, teach your kid in the way they should go. Activate something in them. Does their kids know our testimonies? Does their kids, I'm not saying that we go into all the big bad blah, blah, blah stuff with them, but do they know? Do we sit down and go, like, "You know what? Before Jesus, my life wasn't great." And according to Greg, with Jesus, life is not always great. No, it's true. It's true. It's not come to Jesus and everything is washed. Everything is washed away, all of our sins. But not everything just becomes automatically great. But we have a great God that goes through that stuff with us. So the activation of what God wants to do is very, very important. What God wants to bring out, and the way God activates things is different. In all out through the Old Testament, you can see God using activation points, symbolic stuff, people stepping out, people doing stuff, and like build an altar, kill a calf and put it on it, and somehow that act of sacrifice brings God's glory down. It's such a simple act. It's like, okay, we slaughtered this thing, we put it on the altar, what's going to happen now? It activates something from heaven to come down onto earth. And in Acts chapter 2, if you want to turn there, and let me just encourage you, and I really feel that God put this on my heart. Bring your Bibles to church. I have it on my iPad. I'm like, "Lord, I don't need to bring my Bible to church." I'm not saying God's not going to bless us if we don't. But I'm just saying that I felt the Lord saying, "Bring your Bible. Bring your Bible. Write notes on the side of your Bible. Highlight it. Go from here. Not just listening to a word, but saying, I got something out of that. I wrote it down. It was important. What was God saying to me during that sermon? Bring your Bible. Let's be people that people see us with our Bible. This says I'm a Bible believer. This says that I'm someone who reads the Word of God, who believes the Word of God. And I'm not saying people are going to see it unless you have a big, huge Bible that fits into a piano case. But there's more than people that see what we have in our handbags and our bags. The heavens see it. And the heavenly see it. And I can hide it in my heart. But I can also have it in my man bag. Crying out loud. I thought I was never going to say that. So in Acts chapter 2, there was an initiation or an activation of the presence of God that happened in Acts chapter 2. The button was pressed. Jesus had shown the church or the disciples and the followers what he was about. He showed them. He told them how to do things. And he showed them how to do things. And then he sent them to do the things that he taught them about and showed them how to do. He says, look, this is what my Father is about. And he told them. And he told them what the kingdom is like. And then he showed them what it was like. This is how you know. This is how you activate heaven on earth. And he started doing things that was activating heaven on earth. And then he says to the guys, now you go. And there was times in the Gospels where he sent them out in two different sections. In two different times he sent them out. And they went out. And they activated what they had seen Jesus do. They went out and they done. But God had a bigger picture than just the 12 or just the 70. He had a bigger picture of a church. Of the people that would come to believe in Jesus. That they would have the same presence of God and the same activation that they experienced that we would experience. And he gave us in Acts the picture of how this looked like and what this should look like and how this should unfold, how it should roll out in the life of the church. And listen to Acts chapter 2 or read along with me. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Jesus had ascended to heaven. He told them to wait in Jerusalem. He says, look, there's something going to be activated. The Holy Spirit, the promised Holy Spirit is going to come. And when he comes upon you, you're going to see heaven on earth. You're going to do the things that I've done. You're going to be clothed in the same power that I was clothed in at my baptism. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God enabled them. They were sitting in this place. The promised Holy Spirit came and the reality of heaven came and touched theirs. The reality of who he was and what he's about came and touched there. It brought those 120 disciples or followers of Jesus into a whole different realm of living and of believing and of moving into things of God. And that's how the book of Acts unfolds. That what happened on the day of Pentecost was now unfolded out into the whole rest of Acts and has been going on ever since that time in Acts. That what Jesus showed them, now they were doing. And from that moment on, the church was going to be synonymous with action. See, when you were sitting in the upper room, if they would have just stayed there was nothing activated. It was activated when they came out of the upper room. So, and we leave that for another time. But if they would have just stayed in that room, that's all that would have happened. But the Holy Spirit's empowerment and the activation of the Holy Spirit is not just for the church, but it's to activate you and what God has in you so that you can be a blessing. You can be the church, the light of the world to wherever we go. And from that moment on, the church was going to be synonymous with power. It was going to be identified by the supernatural. What's going on with these men, they said? What language are they speaking? Man at the gate, beautiful. Silver and gold I haven't got, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. They were going to be marked from this moment on as something that is different from anything else in this world, supernatural. And the Holy Spirit came to activate. And the church was going to be talked about in the sense of a phenomenon. This is a phenomenon. This is not just some group of people that are just sitting down having religious ordinance. That the church's DNA is to be a phenomenon in the world. It was to be an incredible expression of God's love, mercy, hope, joy, presence, power, blessed, empowered by the mission of God that he has for us. And then they ask him in Acts 2:36, who is this for, Peter? Because Peter comes out, all the 11 stand up for him. He preaches one of the most amazing sermons that you could ever imagine. He hadn't got notes. It was under the inspiration that was being activated within him. And he starts speaking out of this activation. 3,000 gets added. You quoted this morning. 3,000 gets added to the church. One sermon. And they say, who is this for? And Peter says, Acts 2:36, He's speaking. He goes, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized. He was like, you want to activate this power? You want to activate this love? You want to activate your entrance into the kingdom of God? Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from what you've known in the past. Turn from all your pre-assumptions of who God is and what God's about. He says, it's a military word. He's like, you're walking that way in your own path, in your own ways, doing things your own way. All that. You're going that way. He says, repent, which means turn. And start walking in a new way. It means to do with your thinking. It means that like you're thinking this way. And he goes, change your thinking to this way. And he says, and that activates what has been activated in us. And he says, and then you will receive, in the name of Jesus, forgiveness of your sins. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just so glad my sins are forgiven. Do you know the sins that are obvious to all, we know the things that we're ashamed of. I'm so glad they're forgiven. Do you know the things that could have brought us to the depths of hell and probably has? They're forgiven when you come to Jesus. Never held against you again. That song we sang earlier on, you do not remember my sin. I don't know about you, but that should have been enough to lift the roof off of this place. And you do not remember my shame. And Peter says, how do you activate this? Repent. Make a decision to turn to God's way. Make a decision to believe in who he sent. And this activates forgiveness of sin, whatever it may be, no matter how dirty, dastardly it may have been. He hasn't got categories. Sin is sin. Sin nailed him to the cross. It was sin that separated him from his Father. He doesn't go, that's a little sin, that's a big sin. Sin is sin to Jesus. And if it would have been only your sin in the world, he would have still come for the forgiveness of that sin. So that you and I could have a relationship back with his dad. And here's, he said, how you activate this. Believe in the one whom he sent. He says, if you want this stuff, he says, you will receive the Holy Spirit when you repent. You will activate. Not just forgiveness, not just cleansing, but you will receive the same gift that we have received that empowers us to do the purpose and the will of God. And this promise, he says, is for you, for your children, and for all those who have to come down the road who will believe. Who is this for? It's for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren, for their children, for their branches of their trees. Now, this is not just a one-off. This is for all. When somehow, when we become Christians, like Greg did, there was an activation that affected his whole family. There's an activation that the power and the supernatural working of God. And I tell you what, don't be naive to think that God is not at work within your family members. Let us not be naive to think that, oh gosh, I became a Christian, that's all. No, you're a conduit. You're now a door opener for God to rush in, to now to have the conversation of God that's going on in your family, even if it starts off with you're mad. Who was being told as a Christian that you're not mad? Put up your hand. There you go. And who never thought when they went to church first that they were all mad? There you go. There's some things that are common to us all. Well, here we are. We're the mad ones now. When we open the door, we now open the door to the blessing, the supernatural, the forgiveness of God, the mercy of God, the bringing together of brokenness, the healing of broken lives and shattered promises. He now brings it all together. And the promise is, it's not just for you, but this will affect your children and your children's children. And before you know it, we have a lineage that is in God. That wasn't just a continuation of the old cycles in our family tree. But a new branch sports out. And from this branch, my kids become Christians. And their kids become Christians. And there's a whole new lineage. And that old tree with all of its stuff on it doesn't affect the fruit of this one. And I want to tell you, I believe in God, I'm great. I really believe that. I believe outside of God, I'm not a whole lot. But I believe in God, I'm great. And I believe my kids are great. And I believe my grandkids are going to be great. And I'm like, what's my great-grandkids going to be like? What are they going to do in this nation? What are they going to release? What are they going to bring? It's important that we activate what God has poured in us so that this spreads out. This gets further and deeper. I remember a time that you'd have to go to church on a Sunday to meet another Christian. You can't go anywhere in this city without meeting another Christian. You can't go anywhere. Go to Liffey Valley. Before you know it, there's six people around you. I'm like, believe in that scripture where two or three are gathered, you take up an offering. But it just doesn't matter where you go. We're everywhere. We're breathing. And the more pressure we get put under, the more we breathe. Okay, I have 3 points. Well, I've said enough. There's people here that need to repent. There's people that has never repented. Meaning this, you're carrying the weight of your own sin. You don't have to. He took the weight on the cross. He took it. You don't have to carry it. He paid the price for that. So you and I are supposed to say, Jesus, I believe you've already paid for this. Thank you. Here. You can have it. You mean, Lord, this is not going to be counted against me anymore? Never. 22nd of March, 1989, Tuesday, 9:40, I gave my life to Jesus. And here's the one thing. I knew from that moment on that if I died, I was 22, that I could look God in the eye and I wouldn't be condemned. I never read the Bible before that, never went to church before that, but I knew that moment what that man said was true. He read from the scriptures. Now tell me this, have you got that assurance? And if you're not, you can have it today. You can have it today. Now, when them sins come back to haunt you, go, look, it's sorted. Sorted, mate, innit? It's sorted. In the kids' cafe, I keep talking to these little kids in the London accent. I don't know why. Do you want butter? But when they come back, you can go, no, it's sorted. Jesus paid that price. He took the shame of that for me. He took the guilt for that. And you can have that today. And one of the manifestations and activations that I wanted to bring, and I just believe God has landed on that. Can we just close our eyes for a minute? Don't look around. Just bow your head. Give everyone a bit of privacy. And secondly, about repentance. You think this doesn't look, we should be living a life of repentance. The Christian, the kingdom, there's repentance onto the kingdom, meaning this. That I can take my own life back up tomorrow. I can want to do my own stuff tomorrow, think my own way tomorrow, or today, or the next thought I have, actually. And as a Christian, I found that there's times when I just want to do my thing, Lord. And I want to tell you today, you have to repent of that. Because it deactivates the purpose of God in your life. You find that your power in God wanes away. It's like, how come I'm getting weaker? And because we're doing our own thing again. We're not sinners as we were before we came to Jesus. But we're doing our own thing. We've become our own God again. We've become, will I want to do what I want to do? And there needs to be an act of repentance. It's not what you want to do. Jesus, is what do you want of me? Because the Bible says that your life and my life is not our own anymore. We were purchased at a great price.